If you have your Bible and want to read with me this morning, I want to read beginning in the book of Luke. And we're going to read from the 7th chapter and the first verse. So Luke chapter 7, verse number 1. Luke chapter 7, verse number 1. Praise God. I should also tell you that while you're turning there, since I'm not going to be here next week to tell you, but Haas is going to be speaking for us the following Sunday. After Sandy speaks, Haas is going to be speaking for us. So, yeah. So, amen. You have that to look forward to as well. Praise God. So, Luke chapter 7, verse number 1. The Bible tells a little story here. The scripture says, "Now when he, Jesus, when he had ended his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, the centurion, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him, beseeching the Lord that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." And then the Bible says in verse 6, "And Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. I'm not worthy that you should enter into my house. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion said, For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant who had been sick completely made whole." And I'm going to stop reading right there. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing and ministering what he's placed on my heart today. All right, Heavenly Father, it is with a grateful heart, Lord, that we come together this morning to worship and to honor you and to give thanks for all your many, many blessings. It is with a grateful heart that we gather here today, Lord, to hear your word. And I would ask this morning, Father, that you would simply put your words in my mind and in my mouth and in my spirit to speak. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and give me divine capability and divine utterance. Of my own self, I freely admit that I am incapable. Of my own self, I agree with your scripture, Lord, that without you, I can do nothing. So I pray that you would touch me this morning, that you would give me divine unction and divine liberty in the house of the Lord. Bless me to be a blessing to these that are here and these that will listen by way of the internet. Open our hearts, open the eyes of our understanding, I ask. And Father, we will fail not to give you the praise and fail not to give you the glory. And we ask it in the mighty and the precious and the wonderful name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Amazing Jesus. Amazing Jesus. How many of you know this morning that he truly is amazing? The Bible declares that he is the King of Kings. That's saying something. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We read in the Word of God there in the same book of Revelation where it says that he was, he is, and he is to come. Meaning that, amen, he was here when it all started, and he will be here when it all ends. The Bible tells us that he is the eternal Word of God. Scripture states that one day that Jesus asked the disciples and said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they begin to look at him and tell him the town gossip. And some said, well, some said that you are Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, well, that's what they said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter got a revelation from God, and Peter said, I'll tell you who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches that he is the beautiful rose of Sharon. Amen. He forever existed in the heavenly places, and everything that was created, the Bible teaches that he created it. When he walked this earth in a physical body and he walked upon this earth, he cleansed the lepers. A leper came to him one day, and you'll find it in Matthew's gospel, the 8th chapter in the 1st verse. A leper comes to him and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I will, be thou made clean. And he was absolutely made whole. Amen. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He walked on water. Amen. He calmed the storms by simply speaking, peace, be still. He opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped deaf ears, and cast out demonic spirits with just the word of his power. He fed multitudes upon multitudes with just a small amount of resources. In his youth, he amazed the scribes and the Pharisees. And then later in life, when he would teach the multitudes, amen, he would astound them with their doctrine, for they said that his word was with power. Amen. He amazed at every turn. He is amazing. Amazing Jesus. But this morning, that's not what I desire to talk to you about. Not in the sense that he is amazing, but how many of you would like to have Jesus look at your life and be amazed? Amen. Amazing Jesus. How would you like to have Christ look at your life and go, wow? Hello? Now listen, my wife and I was teasing with her. I said, I am positive that there have been some times when the Lord looked at me and went, wow. Really? Wow. But that's not the sense I'm talking about this morning. Do you think it's possible? Do you think that it's possible, amen, to have the Lord look at your life and go, wow, that's astonishing. Wow, that's amazing. Wow, marvelous. That's wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning? Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he would just look at our life and just be amazed at what he sees? Amen. And that brings me to my question this morning. What do you suppose it would be that would cause him to be amazed at us? What do you suppose that we could do or we could have or we could possess that would cause him to look at our life and go, wow, that's amazing? Well, let me just tell you this morning, amen, never in any of the four Gospels has Jesus ever been amazed at someone's righteousness. He's never looked at someone throughout the whole word there. He never looked at someone and said, wow, look at his righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness is insufficient. He never looked at anyone and said, amen, my, look at their righteousness. No, amen, when he looked at us, he said, I need to give them my righteousness. Amen, he never looked at anyone with amazement and said, wow, look at the wisdom and the intelligence and the IQ of that person. How many of you know he outwitted the wise? He has never looked at someone and said, wow, I'm telling you, that person's education, that person's smarts, that person's IQ, that person's intelligence is just amazing. I outdid myself when I created them. Oh. Some of us think we're a real smarty pants once in a while, right? He never looked at Matthew and said, boy, that is a smart guy. He never looked at Peter and said, I like Peter. He is a go-getter. No, only one thing recorded in the entire Word of God that Jesus ever speaks about that he was amazed. And it is our faith. The only thing that we could offer him, the only thing that would cause him to be amazed at our life is our faith. Amen. Do you believe this morning that you could have the kind of faith that would make Jesus just say, wow? Hello? Well, let me show you three different instances in the scripture this morning. Amen. Where Jesus was literally amazed at an individual's faith or lack thereof. The first example is our text, and it is this centurion soldier. We read it this morning. This centurion had a servant that was dear unto him. And that servant became ill and became, amen, to the point of death. And this servant, this centurion soldier, he was a Roman soldier. He loved his servant, and he heard of Jesus. And when he heard of Jesus, faith began to rise in his spirit. Faith began to rise in his heart. And so he sends someone to go and ask Christ, amen, to heal his servant. He has no intention himself of going because he doesn't feel worthy. How many of you this morning have ever felt unworthy? Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, you can feel unworthy and still have a faith that makes Jesus say, wow. He feels unworthy. I can't go to him. And I don't want him even to come to my home. I'm not worthy that he should even come under my roof. I'm not worthy that he should even fiddle or fool with me and come, amen, into my presence. I'm not worthy of that. I just need my servant healed. So the Bible says he sends individuals to go and ask the Lord to bring healing to his servant. They come to him and they come to Jesus and they begin to tell the Lord how this man had done many things for the Jewish nation. How out of his own pocket he built a synagogue for the Jews. How that he had been kind to their people. Jesus begins to make his way to the centurion soldier's house. And when he is not far off, the centurion sends out ambassadors, if you will, or messengers, and said, no, Lord, listen, I didn't intend for you to come under my roof. I didn't intend for you to come to my house. Amen. That's why I didn't come in the first place. I just don't feel worthy, and I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I understand authority, and I understand that you are a man of authority. And the reason that I understand authority is because I say to a servant, go, and he goes, and I say to another one, come, and they come. I say to a servant, this is what I want you to do, and I expect it to be accomplished. And I know you are a man of authority, and if you'll just speak the word, you don't have to come and lay hands on my servant. You don't have to come under my roof. All you have to do is speak into the realm of the spirit and say, be healed, and he'll be healed. And Jesus turned to the multitude. And the King James doesn't say this. God's word doesn't say this. The God's Word translation, but in essence, this is what it says. Jesus turned to the crowd and said, wow, I'm amazed. I haven't found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. Wow. I haven't found this kind of faith, amen, even of those that confess to know my Father. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. You want to make Jesus say wow about your life? Have faith in God. Have unshakable, unmovable faith. Amen. Everything around you may look like, amen, that it is falling apart, but I got some news for you this morning. There is one that walks in the authority of God the Father himself. And brother, when God gets ready to move in your life, if you connect your faith into his hand and his mighty working power, he'll give you a miracle in your life. Jesus says, wow, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel. Nothing made Jesus say wow. Nothing marveled him. Nothing amazed him. Intelligence didn't do it. Righteousness didn't do it. A lot of things. I mean, all the kind of things that you think you might be need to possess. No, the only thing that made Jesus go wow was somebody who had faith in God. Amen. And when Jesus saw that kind of faith, he said to them, amen, he said to the people, amen, to go their way. And when they went their way and they went into the house, they found that the centurion's servant had been absolutely made whole. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is if you want to unleash the power of God in your circumstance, give something to amaze him. Give him something to marvel at. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying this morning that you can be looking at a situation and the circumstances, amen, are not lining up and don't look good, but we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. And if you can connect your faith, amen, with God, even though it don't look good, even though it looks like it's falling apart, connect your faith with the Lord, and when you amaze the master, he'll move on your behalf. He marveled at his faith. The centurion revealed that he had faith in God, and Jesus was amazed. Amen. Let me give you another example, and you will find it in Matthew chapter 15. The Bible says that Jesus was heading and departed out of the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and a woman of the Canaanites came following after him. And this woman comes after him, and the Bible says that she cried unto him. Now, this was not little, you know, excuse me, Jesus. Hey, help. I'm trying to get his attention. No, she cried after them. She cried after him. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. Amen. Capture a picture of this in your mind this morning. Amen. The disciples and Jesus are walking along, and suddenly from behind, here comes a woman that is crying to the top of her voice, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. Have mercy upon me. So much was her cry, or so much was her calling out to him, amen, that the disciples turned and looked at Jesus and said, send her away. She cries after us. She's making a scene. Send her away. She making a scene. Send her away. We've heard enough. Send her away. Enough's enough. But she didn't care if somebody was looking. She didn't care if somebody was going to talk about her. Amen. She needed something from God, and she knew that he had what he needed, or what she needed. And she was crying after him, saying, "Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. My daughter is grieved and vexed of a devil." And Jesus, the Bible says, even though that she cried after him and followed after him, the Bible says that he answered her not a word. He didn't say nothing. He just kept walking. The disciples, I don't know if they were irritated. I don't know if they'd heard enough. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if they looked around and said, "Look, Jesus, people are starting to look, but you need to make her hush up." But she wouldn't hush. She just kept following. And Jesus, when he does speak to her, amen, he speaks as if he's speaking under his breath. And this is what he says: "I'm not sent. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She's not a covenant partner in Israel. She was a Samaritan woman, a Canaanite. She was outside of the covenant, outside of the Old Testament covenant, outside of a covenant with God. She was alienated. She was looking on the outside, looking in. She had no right to what she was asking. But here she come asking anyway. Here she come asking anyway. And Jesus said, "I'm not sent to the lost sheep, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And the Bible said that even though she felt like maybe she had been rejected and ignored and all of those things, and he hadn't addressed her need and hadn't addressed her, she comes to him, and the Bible said in the 25th verse that she fell down and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, help me." And Jesus says to her, "It is not right. It's not meet that I should take the children's bread and give it to dogs." Oh, that's harsh. Amen. When we read it, we think, man, that's really rough. But in essence, the Jews called those who were outside of the covenant, or those who were Gentiles, they called them dogs. And what Jesus was saying, he said, "It's not right for me to take that which belongs to the children and give it to an outsider. It's not right for me to take the children's bread, amen, and give it unto the dogs." And listen what this woman says. She says, "True, Lord. True, and yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus stopped in his tracks. He stops in his tracks and he says, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Amen. What I'm saying this morning is, so great was her faith that it caused Jesus to remark, it wasn't just faith, but it was great faith. Despite the silence that she met, despite being met with apparent irritation and in opposition, despite being told, amen, that she was undeserving, she would not relent, she would not quit, she would not give up, and she would not let go. Why? Because her faith told her that he could meet her need. And Jesus marveled at her and said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith." You want to make the Lord marvel? Have faith in God. Let me give you a third example this morning. This example is the negative side of faith. The negative side of great faith. This is little faith. You'll find it in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter. Mark chapter 6, verse number 1 through verse number 6. The Bible says that Jesus came into his own country, into the city of Nazareth. And when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus went to the synagogue to teach. And many, the Bible said, hearing him, they were astonished at his words and at his wisdom. And they said, "From whence hath this man such wisdom? From whence hath this man such things? And miracles are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter's son? And aren't his brothers and his sisters still with us? And the Bible said that they were offended at him. They were offended because of him. But Jesus says to them that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And the Bible says this word, you can look at it in Mark chapter 6, verse number 5. The Bible says that he could do there no mighty work, except he laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. And this is what verse 6 says. And he marveled, he was amazed, he was astonished because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Amen. But he marveled because of their lack of faith. That day in his own hometown, Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Because of their lack of faith, his hands were tied. And the scripture says that he could there do no mighty work. How many of you know that the economy of heaven is faith? The Bible says these words in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse number 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is we can make God, we can make Jesus marvel at our faith in a negative sense or in a positive sense. He looked at them, and because of their unbelief, he could do no mighty work in their presence because they had no faith in him. They had no faith in God. Amen. His hands were tied. He could not meet their need, no matter how great their need might have been. Amen. Even though he had great power, he was unable to help because of their lack of faith. How many of us sometimes miss out on what God wants to do in our life because of our lack of faith? The only thing that limits him is our faith or lack thereof. Amen. The only time in Scripture that Jesus was ever amazed, the only time that he ever marveled, is when it comes to faith. This morning and this past week, amen, the Spirit of the Lord, as he began to lay this word upon my heart, amen, if you have a desire to amaze Jesus, if you have a desire to make Jesus go wow and marvel at your life, amen, then beloved, I declare unto you this morning, as it does in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 22, have faith in God. In the Greek, that word literally means have the faith of God. Amen. When trouble comes and when trials come and when problems come that we can't fix, then amaze him by remembering what he said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Believe in him and have faith in him. And brother, when you have faith in God, no matter what the circumstance looks like, you unleash the power of God to work and to operate in your situation. Mark chapter 9, verse number 23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. How many of you have an overwhelming circumstance in your life this morning? How many have an overwhelming situation? an overwhelming circumstance that you don't have the answer for. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is have faith in God. Amen. Amaze the master with your steadfastness. Amaze the master with your faith in him, not in your ability. Amen. Not in your ability to stand, but have faith in the one that called you. Have faith in the one that has his hand upon you. Have faith in the one that keeps you. Have faith in the one that upholds you. Have faith in the one that oversees you. Have faith in God. Amen. I can see the disciples as they were going across the sea one day, and there was a peaceful calm, but the storm began to rise, and their faith went right out the window because Jesus was asleep, and he felt like they did that he didn't care. Amen. Lord, they woke him up. Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus awoke and said, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Have faith in God this morning. Amaze the Lord by holding on to the word of promise. Amen. Hold on to the word of promise. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23 says that we can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without wavering. For he is faithful who promised. You don't have a problem this morning that he cannot solve. You don't have a need this morning that he cannot meet. You don't have a sickness this morning that he cannot heal. You don't have a past this morning that he cannot and will not forgive. You don't have a situation this morning that he cannot turn around. All we need to do is have faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Unleash the powerful working hand of God by amazing him with your faith in him. The only time that he ever said wow was when it came to somebody's faith. Amen. You want to amaze the Lord? Operate in faith. Amen. Operate in faith. Oftentimes, put me at the head of the line. Oftentimes, we operate by what we can visually see. And our thoughts and our plans sometimes are even formed by our own senses. What we can see, what we can figure out, what we can determine. And oftentimes we confess we can't, when all the while God is saying, if you just have faith, if you just have faith, you can't even see what I want to bring. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The children of Israel come up out of Egypt's bondage. 1 year and 3 months later, they're standing on the bank of the Jordan River and they're looking over at the promised land. And God had already told them, you can have it. They send in the spies. 10 of them, there were 12 altogether. 10 of them went in and they're like, man, it's good, but we can't have it. Why not? Because we saw giants over there and they are mightier than we are. And all the while, God fully intended to take them into the promised land. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that they turned back and they tempted God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. And they refused to go in, all because of what they could see. If they would have acted upon what was spoken to them and what they believed, amen, and their belief system had been predicated upon the word of God, they would have been like Joshua and Caleb, said, I don't care if there's giants over there or not. Let's go get it. If God is on our side, then nobody can stand against us. God has already said we could have it, and all we got to do is go in and get it. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. And you know what? Their faith made God go, wow. Ain't none of the rest of them going to get it, but Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, and they're going to inherit what I promised them. And they did. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, have faith in God. Unleash your faith and amaze the master and make Jesus say, wow, and watch him work on your behalf. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We all desire to please him, but nothing pleases him more than our simple childlike faith. Simple childlike faith. When I tell my children when they were little, and even now when I tell them something, this is what we're going to do, everything that is within me, that's what we do. Grandchildren, same way. If I told them this is what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. God is even more faithful than that. All we have to do is take him at his word. Believe his word. Act upon his word. Have faith in him and watch him work on our behalf. How many of you, I started by asking, how many of you want to amaze the Lord? How many of you want to amaze Jesus? Amazing Jesus. We can amaze him by our faith. We can amaze him with our faith in him. Bow your heads if you would please this morning. We can amaze him by walking by faith and not by what we see. Isaiah says, the prophet speaks and says, who has believed the report of the Lord? Amen. I know sometimes the report of men or the report of the doctor or the report of circumstances does not agree with the report of the Lord, but who has agreed or who has believed the report of the Lord? Agree with it. Agree with it. Acknowledge it. Walk in it and watch God do the work. Watch God work the miracle. Watch God, amen, work things out on your behalf. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for your presence, for your anointing, and for your spirit. Thank you. Thank you for causing us to understand how important our faith is in our lives. Lord, we've never been able to impress you with our intelligence, our righteousness within ourselves. We've never been able to impress you with our wonderful personalities. But I'm asking this morning, Lord, to allow faith to rise in our hearts that would just simply make you go, wow. Wow. They believe. And then, Father, in that faith, in that act of faith, work in circumstances and situations, in hearts and in lives, to bring about your glory in our life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I have a need. I have a need in my life. Yes, yes, yes. All over the building today. You want to make him say, wow? Tell him, Lord, I know what it looks like, but I know what your word said, and I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word is truth, and I'm going to act on your word. I'm going to act. May not look right, may not look like it's the right thing to do, but I believe. My faith is anchored in you. Stand to your feet all over the building. If you lifted your hand, come and stand right here in front this morning. If you lifted your hand, and many of you did, come and stand right here this morning. Come. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Amen. I don't know what your need is this morning. Some of you have come because of financial need. Some of you have come because of physical need. Some of you have come because of marital need. Some of you have come because of spiritual need. Some of you have come because, amen, you have circumstances and situations that you don't see any way around. Amen. I don't have your answer, but I know one who does. This morning, as we begin to pray, I just want you to ask God to cause your faith to increase to the point of receiving. The Bible says that a man came to Jesus one day and he said, "Lord, my son, the enemy often takes him and casts him into the fire, and I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. Will you help him?" And Jesus said, "If you can only believe." And he said, "I believe, Lord." And then he confessed and said, "Lord, help my unbelief. Help that part of me that wants to hold on to unbelief." Amen. Let's pray. Father, these that have come this morning, you are keenly aware of the need in their life. You are keenly aware of the situation that they face, the circumstance that they face. Father, right now in Jesus' name, you said in your word, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I bind unbelief. I bind unbelief. And I loose this morning, the very faith of God. Let it flow into their spirit and into their heart, and let it rise up within them, and let their faith come into contact with the miracle working power of God. Every sickness and every disease, every infirmity and every weakness, I command you to bow this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I loose the anointing that brings healing and health. I bring, amen, that brings victory and brings deliverance to the captive. Amen. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that, amen, their faith will be elevated to the point where they reach and touch the hem of the Master, and that they are set free today. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we thank you for it. Amen. Slip your hands right up toward heaven this morning. Amen. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Heaven, right now, heaven is on the move. Amen. Right now, heaven is on the move. Right now. Amen. Answers are being met right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Answers are on the way right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. We thank you and we give you praise this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Give him